already given us. How many believe Jesus has come? How many have, by faith in him, been born again? Then you have the life of God in you. And you are who the Bible says you are. You can do what the Bible says you can do. And we need to begin to be certain about what we know the Bible says about us, who we are, and what we're capable of doing. We are the enforcers, like Prophet Ines just said, we are the enforcers of those things that God has already done in the earth. And we need to know how to enforce the kingdom of God. There's a real basic question. Do you rule and reign with him? Is there any authority that the devil has in your life whatsoever? How many can say none? None. How many know that's a revelation from the Word of God? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Okay, so you're going in the power. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on scorpions, serpents, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So there's an authority that's being released in the body of Christ through revelation and through prophetic decree. What Prophet Ina was doing is decreeing to you the word of the Lord, that you might take that word and decree it for yourself and thereby release the authority that God is giving the church in this day to be who the Bible says we are. And this is a theme that kind of goes over and over and over. It was in the songs this morning. I hope you heard it in the songs this morning. It was in the prophetic word from Sister Kathy. It was in my prophetic word. It was in Ina's prophetic word. It's in your heart. God is trying to stir you to believe you are who the Bible says you are. And you can do what the Bible says you can do. And he's trying to get you to take accountability for your own deliverance in speaking those things that are true about yourself and thereby causing them to be your life experience. I think God is moving in my life in a new dimension, a new way of that for myself. I know in talking to some of you that he's doing the same thing in your life. You're becoming more and more aware of the authority that you have in the earth today. My Christmas sermon. We kind of had our Christmas last Sunday. Well, maybe we're having it all month. I don't know. But the joy of the Lord came into the camp several weeks back. And thank God it's not left. It's a real good time. We're having a good time. If you're not having a good time yet, catch up. Come on. It's great to have Sister Tony back with us today. Praise the Lord. Been gone several weeks. And others, I know Pete and Allison are out this weekend and next. I think they'll be back after that. But I did get a chance to visit with them a little bit. So many people coming and going. You have to be here kind of every service to catch the wave. But those of you who are not, that's why we have our messages online. And maybe you can catch up that way. But my Christmas sermon is a joyful message. So, I mean, no, Christmas ought to be a joyful message. But it's what I would call a serious joy, a joy with a challenge, a joy with a challenge to increase our faith and our understanding concerning the birth of Jesus and what it should mean to us as believers in the world in which we find ourselves living at this time. I don't know if you notice it or not, but things have gotten a little more difficult. And it requires additional faith to stay in the joy of the Lord, because there's so much pulling you down here and there. And it takes some extra. And so God is increasing the revelation that you and I need concerning the birth of Jesus in order to move us to a next level of revelation in our identity and authority, particularly today. So I think God's wanting to move the Christian celebration of Christmas that direction. Jesus was created both God and man through the virgin birth. Now, the virgin birth has been mentioned over and over and over this morning in song and in Sister Ina's time up here as well. And so there's something in the air concerning the virgin birth that you and I need to capture today while my time is limited. And I will use this clock because that one is extremely slow. And you'll do better if I use this one. There's a surprisingly serious joy, and it's a surprise. The joy coming to you is a surprise. It's surprisingly more than you think. You're going to be happier than you've ever been. There's going to be some joyful warriors in this season that we're entering into, if you'll cooperate with God and move in it. And God will take the most sour, sober Christian person. If he'll cooperate with God in these days, he'll give you a voice. Say, a voice. A voice. He'll give me a voice. He'll give me a joy. And I'll cut right through it with my voice with great joy. And you'll see victory all around me. That's what's happening if you're willing to go with me, says the Lord. That's where I'm going. And if you'll go with me, that's where I'll go. I mean, things will look bad, things will happen, good things will happen, bad things will happen, but you'll have the joy, you'll have the word of the Lord, and you'll be speaking the word of God in such a way as to bring a victory around you, and you can't be stopped. You cannot be stopped in what God is doing if you'll hang on with him. So let's read a few passages of scripture, and I'll tell you more, but this reserve of people, this triumphant reserve, the army of the Lord going out with the joy of the Lord is what's happening in the body of Christ these days. So Isaiah, there's several Christmas passages, and I just have to read some of the Word of God to get the focus on this virgin birth and what it means to you and my authority and joy in this season we're now in. Isaiah chapter 9, the first 7 verses, talks about the government of the promised son. The government of the promised son. Isaiah 9, nevertheless, verse 1, chapter 9, Isaiah, nevertheless, the gloom will not be. Now, I'd like to camp right there and preach on that for a while. But Isaiah says, I see a day when the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at the first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. So the good news is to the Jew first and equally to the Gentiles. He said in verse 2, the people who walked in darkness. I don't know about you, but I am tired of this dark cloud. I'm not walking in that no more. I'm not in the darkness. I've been delivered from the power of darkness, and I've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's a kingdom of light. It's a kingdom where we understand. It's a kingdom where we have revelation. And it's a kingdom where we have the Word of God, who is the light of the world. And whoever follows the voice of God will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life, John 8:12. So he says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Prophet Ina was up here releasing the word of the Lord, and she moved over into the harvest and talked about there's going to be lots of people involved in this. You may not see these seats full here. I don't really care what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at the empty seats. I'm looking at you who are here. Hallelujah. And I'm rejoicing in you because you are beginning to see the harvest that is to come. And if you don't move into the harvest in the spirit, you'll never move into the harvest in the natural. So we got to move into the believing that we have the light and life that the world needs. And we need to get these invitation cards printed. We need to get our invitation in our mouth and in our heart. We need to be targeting people that we need to invite. And we need to begin to believe they're going to come. Because there are men and women, boys and girls in this region that we can help their faith and joy by being here. Turn to somebody and say, we got good stuff and we should be sharing it. And we will. Hallelujah, we are. Amen, we are. Amen. He says, verse 4, you have broken the yoke of his burden, the staff off his shoulder, the rod of oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for the burning of fuel of fire. In other words, I'm going to finish a battle, and you're going to use all that was lost in the battle for a great fire. And he talks about the beginning to the end. And he talks about in verse 6, this is our famous verse we read, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. No one was more excited about the incarnation of Jesus and the birth of Jesus than God himself. No one was more excited about raising him from the dead. No one's more excited about giving the Holy Ghost to the church. No one's more excited about you doing remarkable things in the Lord so that the Lord is known than the Lord himself. There's something inside you that's beginning to burn. That passion is going to increase. One reason is I'm praying that it will. Your pastor is believing that passion is going to rise in you, that I'm going to see you more often, that God's going to use you more often, that as God uses you more often, you're going to have remarkable things go on in your life, and you're going to see the result of the zeal of the Lord bringing about his rule and reign in your life and in those around you that you touch, in your sphere of influence. Now turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is interesting. I'm going to get to the birth of Jesus. I'm going to get to the virgin birth. Say that word with me if you want to, virgin birth. That's an important part of Christianity. No other religion in the world believes that their God was born into their mankindness, if you will. And no other religion believes that their God is both God and man. No other religion believes that he's been raised from the dead. This is the only religion that explains why the people of God have the authority they have in the earth. And it begins with the virgin birth. And Luke says this to Theophilus in Luke chapter 1, verse 1. He says, inasmuch, and really listen to this, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who, from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of the things in which you were instructed. You know, you may be the only one in hundreds around you that really know the scriptures and God's truth for living victorious in this day. I think it's very rare these days for people to really know the Bible and know the origin and truth of their identity, their purpose, their authority, their destiny, and the blessing of God that's on their life. I believe it's a very rare thing. There are many people who seek to experience the Lord. They want to experience God, but they don't want to know God. There's not a desire to know the Word, to know who God is, to know why God did what he did through Christ, to know what Christ is doing in them, and know what they can do through Christ in their own life and in the lives of others. But there is a remnant of people. There is a joyful remnant. There's a joyful, triumphant remnant. There's a group of people. And we're not criticizing all these other folks because they can be wherever God is directing and leading them. But there is a group of people. I see it wherever I look throughout the whole world. There are groups of people who are really boring into God. What are you saying to me now? What are you revealing to us now? What do you want us to stand up and be counted for now? How do we get to the harvest, O God, of souls and see the revival that you have in your heart for the people that you yearn for and long for? Where is that coming from? It's coming right out of the heart of the Father in these days. And Mr. Luke here, Dr. Luke, wanted Theophilus to be certain of those things in which he was entrusted. Then he goes on, Luke goes on in verses 5 through 22. He talks about the miraculous birth of John the Baptist, to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And then he gets to the virgin birth in verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." Mary was no fool. She was a very mature person for her age. She was very spiritually aware. She was not afraid to see an angel. And she was not impressed by an angel telling her she was highly favored. She didn't go into a dither, jumping up and down. "Oh, glory to God, I'm favored in the Lord." No, she said, "Well, tell me more." You know, she was very discerning. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Now that's quite a prophecy. And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Ladies and gentlemen, this is the truth of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. The baby that was born was as much man as he was God. He's the only begotten of God. He's the only son begotten. He is a new creation, a new type in heaven and in earth. No one had ever seen this before. This is a creation of God. It's the only begotten Son of God, and Mary is the one who received the blessing to be the mother for the Son of God. Verse 38, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Remember that. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Because there's coming a truth to you this morning or this afternoon that you're going to think, now that's impossible. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost begins to move on you and me, there is nothing that is impossible. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, if you go over to Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. You would be surprised if you go out on the internet and you Google Emmanuel, God with us. If you look at Bible studies and theologians and scholars which look at Isaiah 7 and 14, you will find a whole bunch of people who say it never happened. That virgin in the book of Luke just means a young girl. It doesn't really mean a virgin. It'll say that Isaiah 7 doesn't have anything to do with that. It'll say that it couldn't be because the angel told Mary his name would be Jesus, and Isaiah says he's Emmanuel. Well, when God comes in the womb of a virgin and births a child called the Son of God, believe you me, it's Emmanuel. God is with us. There are spirits of Antichrist in the world today that will rebuke the virgin birth and will tell you that the Bible is not true, it doesn't mean what it says, and it will eat away at your authority, which God is trying to increase at this time. And one of the things that's going to happen is a lot of denial of the virgin birth. John warned us of this in 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1, when he said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. I love what the book of Hebrews teaches us about the virgin birth. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. How many know that that was just a type in the Old Testament of slaughtering animals, innocent blood for the guilty? And that there was a time coming when there would be a sacrifice acceptable to God. And he says in verse 5, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, now who's the he? He's talking about Jesus. When Jesus came into the world, this is what he said. He was in heaven with God. They were coming to the fullness of time. The angel had appeared to Mary and told her, the Holy Ghost is going to birth something in you. And Jesus and the Father are speaking about how that's going to happen. And Jesus says this, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had any pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. But then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. And he takes away the first that he may establish the second. He takes away the first Adam in that he can establish the second Adam. He takes away all the covenants before and establishes a new covenant. And it says here, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It's called the veil of the flesh. There's only one person in all of time who came into mankind as Jesus did. No one else has ever entered into the veil of the flesh. To get the authority Jesus needed to rescue all of mankind, he had to become man, live a sinless life, and then give that sinless life for the authority to take back everything that Adam lost. That's why he's called the second Adam. The second Adam is both man and God. He is of a virgin birth. It is undeniable, and it's the only legal access Jesus has for saving all of mankind is to become a man, live a sinless life, offer his body, which was prepared for him, as a sacrifice for sin forever and ever. That's the only way to heaven. That's why there's no other way. Say, well, isn't there some other way to heaven? There's no other salvation except in his name. Why? Because of the virgin birth. The virgin birth gives him the authority in man to save man. Nobody else has that authority. Nobody else can have that authority. There's no other way to heaven except Jesus, because he's the only man who's able to give his life for the ransom of all the world. Are you with me? So that's the importance of the virgin birth. It's like Christianity 101. It's like the foundation of our faith, one of the foundations. If you go to Hebrews 6, I won't go there for now, but there are six doctrines that are basic to Christianity. And the first one is the doctrine of Christ. The second one is repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Then you get into baptisms, laying on of hands. You know, so he spells out the basics there. But the fundamental theology of our salvation is the doctrine of Christ, the Messiah. And how did the Messiah come? He came through the veil of the flesh so that he could have the authority to save you. Hallelujah. He is the Savior of the world. The one and only Savior of the world. And you can make up other stories, make up other gods, make up other ways. There is no other way. In the Hebrews, I was reading by verse 23, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who was promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Going back to 1 John 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children. John 1:12 says, but as many as believed on him, who? The virgin birth, God-man, the new creation man. As many as believed on him, gave he them the power to become sons of God in like manner. The virgin birth becomes our birth. Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. How does God make a king? He births them. How did God make Jesus the King of Kings? He birthed him. How do you and I get the identity and the authority that we need to rule and reign in this life? By birth. How are we born? The same way Jesus was born. The Holy Ghost comes upon us when we say we have faith in Jesus Christ. I believe you are the Son of the living God. And I receive you as my Savior. Boom! The Holy Ghost births us into, and we become a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And we have an authority in our identity as sons and daughters of the Most High God, that God is trying to shake us today and say, hey, there was a virgin birth, and just like I was born, you are born. Stand up and rejoice with me. Hallelujah. Amen. John goes on to say, he says, you are children of God. You have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Just say that with me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I have identity in Christ as a son or daughter of God. I have the authority he has purchased for me. He came through the veil of the flesh so I could be born again. Amen. Amen. You and I are God's creation as Jesus. That's a hard concept, I know. I'm trying to get my mind around it. I'm trying to really take that in. I am who the Bible says I am. I have authority the Bible says I have. John ends by saying, behold, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. I think the Lord's trying to take our Christmas celebration and move it in a direction to cause us to believe about our neighbor what God wants us to believe about our neighbor, what he believes about our neighbor. He believes Christ is in Eugene. God believes that. I should begin to believe the best about you. You know, I should. I should begin to believe the best about Belinda. I should believe the best about Leon back there, you know. And even Jeremy. I should believe the best. I love you, Jeremy. I love Jesus in you. I believe the best for you. I want to see you get everything God has for you. I'm going to do everything I can to bless you. If you need it, I'll forgive you. Why? Because God forgave me. So let's begin to love one another as Christ has loved us. And let's step into our new birth. Just as Jesus stepped into his new birth. We're in you, Jesus. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you that you were born, that you came into the world, that you came into mankind and became the Son of God with us, Emmanuel. We rejoice in you, Lord. Now give us the joy of the Lord as a strength today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn around, hug somebody and say, I see Jesus in you. Amen.